We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to another For Liberty's Sake. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Eric Thompson out here in California here on Monday, August 9th, 2021. If it's the first time you're watching, this is a Monday through Friday broadcast, podcast. I'm trying to make sure you're up to speed on what things are taking place that are going to affect your liberties, going to affect your ability to live the way that we were raised to live, that we were able to live in a country where we had a constitution, a bill of rights, and people fought for our freedoms, and our military has fought, and the police have done their best to turn back evil, and we were, our best days were ahead of us. And then COVID hit, and then we'll find out tomorrow when Mike Lindell does his cyber symposium, how much proof and data is there that the 2020 elections were stolen. To say all that, where we're at right now is we are the divided states of America. And so to start, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that states that have a majority of people that love America and that states that people would consolidate into if needed, do you think there'll come a point where we would have to have a number of states say that they would like to leave the union and would try? Our founders, they wrote the Declaration of Independence because they said, listen, King, you're doing this, 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 and we're no longer being governed. We're living under tyranny. So we have a right as free people to declare our independence from you. So when the government has lost its purpose and its way and it's no longer serving the people, it is in the rights of the people to declare their independence thereof. How in the world can 80, let's say President Trump got between 70 and 80 million people plus, depending upon who you listen to. So let's say there's 130 million people. Let's say that a little less than maybe a third to 40% of the country flat out still love America and they want things to go back to the Reagan years. Okay, the rest of the country is being flooded with people from over 100 countries coming in the country illegally, then some through getting processed through the Homeland Security, who's not enforcing immigration laws because they're told not to. And they're bringing in COVID, and we've got human traffickers. But people are spreading throughout the country, from India, from Africa, from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Cuba, from Haiti, from all over the world, China, whatever. How in the world, with what I'm going to go over the government's doing right now, could we ever become or be restored to the United States of America? And I think as we do this show daily, keep these things in mind. We can't live in fear, especially if you're a person of faith. So if you're a Christian, our citizenship's in heaven, so you can't get all worked up. But I want to make sure we're at least with our abilities within the structure and law, we want to try to at least preserve righteousness and moral living for our posterity, for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if you're not a person of faith, then basically, do you want to live under tyranny? So we have to use the tools we have, and we have to be thinking people. So if you want to email me, any of your comments or feedback or anything like that, you can always email me at eric@forlibertiessake.com. So as I'm talking and we're going through the segment, say, you know what, you're crazy, stupid, I agree with you. Did you ever think about this? Or go over to my social media platforms of magabook.com. I own that, magabook.com and twillet.com, or watch some shows on magatv.com. All right, we're going to start here with the leaders in the Progressive Party think they're outside of the law. We have the Clintons. We have everyone that was involved in the Russian hoax. But Barack Obama turned 60, right? And it was announced he was going to have a huge birthday party. And this was before the party, and then I'm going to go what happened afterwards. But the Gateway Pundit had reported, Jim Hoft, that this is a sophisticated crowd. A sophisticated, vaccinated crowd. New York's reporter defended Obama's maskless birthday extravaganza by pointing out that the elitist nature of the crowd. Who do they think they are, right? And why would people defend Barack Obama? Barack Obama tried to get the world to buy into the idea that there's climate change. But then him and Bernie and everyone else went and bought land on Martha's Vineyard. They bought land right at sea level, even though supposedly the oceans were rising. If you tell me, you should get out because there is a fire and it's raging, and then you go back in your house and the pizza guy shows up and you're kicking up your feet with the door open watching football, I'm not leaving either. Because what you just said is not, it's not true. It's not real because you're not acting on it. But Obama was like, yeah, the world's going, world's sea levels are rising and we got to push through the new Green Deal and we got to be part of the Paris Accord. Because the oceans are rising. Now go ahead and give me a 30-plus acres on the ocean. Well, now Brock's like, all right, I'm 60. And I'm going to reward those people that are butt kissers for me. So CNN was like, her name is Annie Carney. She's a New York Times White House correspondent. She defended the super spreader event, telling CNN hack Jim Acosta, other people say this is really being overblown. They're following all the safety precautions. People are going to sporting events bigger than this. It's going to be safe. This is a sophisticated and a vaccinated crowd. And here it is out of her own mouth.
Other people said, you know, this is really being overblown. They're following all the safety precautions. People are going to sporting events that are bigger than this. This is going to be safe. This is a sophisticated, vaccinated crowd. And this is just about optics. It's not about safety.
All right. Annie Carney, thanks so much. We'll see how it plays out.
So what does that mean? Well, this continued. So here's how it went. Here's Brock. Everybody, not a mask in sight. Everybody was dancing. Brock was out there. He's rapping and everything. Fox News reported that, sure, these people, you know, they're sophisticated and vaccinated. So because of that, even though while the Biden administration, Obama Biden administration, because I think it's actually Brock's third term, he's partying up with all the Hollywood stars and everybody. Woohoo! Got the mask on up there. Music's going on. No mask on in the crowd around him. He's dancing. Everybody's having a good time, drinking away. No social distancing. While the Biden administration's like, with Fauci and the CDC and NIH, yes, we know you got vaccines already. You've been vaccinated. But you got to put a mask on, and you got to put mask on your kids, your 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, and everybody needs a mask and vaccinations because this is terrible. And then you got these guys partying going in the White House, or the CNN's defending them. Well, it's a sophisticated vaccinated crowd, so they can live one way, and then everybody else should live within the constraints of what the Biden administration says we should do. When you're living under democratic socialism, heading toward Marxism, heading toward communism, this is how the elite function. That's why Maduro down in Venezuela, when Chavez and then him, they basically said, yeah, everything's falling apart. Give me my steaks. Give me my lobster. Give me my wine. Give me. I don't care if the people are starving. I'm in charge because they're tyrannical leaders, and that's how they do things. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like you're represented? Do you feel like that it's okay that there was an attempted coup d'etat, there was an attempted effort to remove a duly sitting president of the United States, $40 million was spent on the Mueller report, they tried impeaching Trump twice, and now you have Obama, and then we're going to get to Cuomo here, who's 11 women come out. There's one that just came on CBS saying he's physically touching my body, and Cuomo's like, you guys are just stupid. How dare you question me? I am Andrew Cuomo. I touch everybody this way. And his attorneys, oh, this is just how Andrew is, and you guys are just you're kind of exaggerating, and because everybody, listen, hey, everybody in New York, we can't mess with him. He's part of the elite. What are you guys doing? You can't do this. Well, get back. I'm going to go over what the newest lady said to Cuomo did to her. And we're going to find out if you think that he's actually going to step down. I don't think he will. They'll have to force him out because how dare the world try to take him down? So thank you again for joining me. I'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with the most important commercial that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 5 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, it's all come down to this. I'm having a cyber symposium on August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This historical event will be live streamed 72 hours straight on my new platform, frankspeech.com. You can help by getting everybody you know to go to frankspeech.com now. To help support this Cyber Symposium event, I am offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only offered at frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Sue and Joe are two hardworking entrepreneurs, but recently business has been slow. The idea of launching an online store has crossed their minds, but the thought of designing, building, and managing an e-commerce website is a bit overwhelming. Luckily, Sue recently heard about ShopToTheRight.com, a new website where she can list and sell her products without the hassle of maintaining her own website. Best of all, ShopToTheRight already has shoppers ready to buy her products. ShopToTheRight.com is dedicated to connecting freedom-loving Americans and business owners. Learn more today at ShopToTheRight.com.
Clean Slate Tax. End your tax mess. Clean Slate Tax is a tax relief company that helps alleviate tax debts. Tax relief, tax credit, deduction, small businesses, we do it all. Find out if you're eligible for tax debt relief. Call Clean Slate Tax today at 888-839-6139. That's 888-839-6139. All right, thank you so much for staying with me. My name is Eric Thompson. This is For Liberty's Sake, and we're now going to be jumping over to Andrew Cuomo. We just went over Obama, and he's part of the elite, and even though the Biden administration and everybody on the left is trying to force people to submit to the state, even the military now, Biden's going to have to sign a waiver that says, oh, our military people, people that are willing to lay their lives down for our country, are going to be required to take the vaccine, the shots, because we are the government and you work for us. Now, yes, the vaccine, you know, they didn't go through the full clinical trials. And yes, there are some people that have concerns about them, but we don't care because we want compliance and we're going to force it. But we'll get to that. Here is Andrew Cuomo's newest accuser, Brittany Comiso. She's speaking out. Now, remember, Brock didn't have to do whatever everybody else is doing because he's Barack Obama. And she's going to say here that Andrew Cuomo doesn't have to do things the way either. And listen to this.
Complaint against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is telling us why she did it. In an exclusive interview with CBS This Morning and Albany's Times Union newspaper, Brittany Comiso says Cuomo groped and sexually harassed her. Comiso was identified as executive assistant number one in the state attorney general's report and is one of 11 women who accused the governor of sexual misconduct. Cuomo denies all their allegations. Comiso says the governor broke the law and, in her words, needs to be held accountable.
To me, this was a dream job, and it unfortunately turned into a nightmare.
32-year-old Brittany Comiso started working as an executive assistant in New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's office in 2017. Nearly 4 years later, she's the woman known as executive assistant number one in the New York Attorney General's report into allegations of sexual harassment by the governor.
In the report, you're known as executive assistant number one.
I am executive assistant in the governor's office, but I am also a mother. I am a daughter. I am a friend. I'm a colleague. I am more than executive assistant number one.
She says Governor Cuomo groped her twice, the first time on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2019, at the governor's mansion.
I had to go over to the mansion to help the governor with a state of the state speech. I wasn't there late. I did my final edit. And while I was upstairs in the office, the governor said, why don't we take a selfie?
So his suggestion, you
yes.
say? Yes. With your phone?
With my phone. I then felt, while taking the selfie, his hand go down my back onto my butt, and he started rubbing it. Not sliding it, not, you know, quickly brushing over it, rubbing my butt.
And did you ask him, what are you doing?
Well, this was while I was taking the selfie. I became so nervous that my hands were clearly shaking, and a lot of the photos that I was snapping were completely blurry. I showed him them, and he said, oh, you know, those aren't good. And he said, why don't we go sit on the couch, and we can take a better one.
So you sat on the couch?
I sat on the couch because I thought to myself, okay, I don't think on the couch that he would have a way to just do what he just did. So I felt safer, actually, on the couch. And in the photo, you know, I have my arm wrapped around his shoulder, mm-hmm. you know, almost as if, you know, we were taking a picture with a buddy. Mm-hmm. And that is the one that has been blurred out, that has been now released to the public.
The governor has denied that he put his hand on Comiso's bottom during the selfie. Comiso alleges that the governor groped her a second time at the governor's mansion in November of 2020.
So he gets up and he goes to give me a hug. And I could tell immediately when he hugged me, it was in a probably the most sexually aggressive manner than any of the other hugs that he had given me. It was then that I said, you know, governor, you know, my words were, you're going to get us in trouble. And I thought to myself, that probably wasn't the best thing to say, but at that time, I was so afraid that one of the mansion staff, that they were going to come up and see this and think, oh, you know, is that what she comes here for? And that's not what I came there for, and that's not who I am. And I was terrified of that. And when I said that, he walked over, shut the door so hard to the point where I thought, for sure, someone downstairs must think, they must think if they heard that, what is going on? Came back to me, and that's when he put his hand up my blouse and cupped my breast over my bra. I exactly remember looking down, seeing his hand, which is a large hand, thinking to myself, oh my God, this is happening. It happened so quick. He didn't say anything. When I stopped it, he just pulled away and walked away.
I want to read to you what the governor said, quote, to touch a woman's breast, who I hardly know, in the mansion, with 10 staff around, with my family in the mansion, to say I don't care who sees us, I would have to lose my mind to do such a thing.
Reading that is disgusting.
Okay, so he knows the truth. She knows what happened. So the problem is this. When we're sitting here and we're like, okay, did it happen? Did it not happen? 11 women. But it's the arrogance. If you just watch Andrew Cuomo, if you go back and watch him in his whole career, him and Chris on CNN, it's how they roll. Hey, man, I'm doing this, and you're going to put the people that are sick with COVID in with the healthy people in the retirement homes. How dare you challenge me? And I am this, and don't you say this, and don't you talk to me this way, and when did you become a reporter? And now he's got 11 women. Oh, I didn't touch. Just trust me. Just do as I say, because I am your elected officials, and no one's going to tell me that I did something that I'm saying that I didn't do. And when you get people in positions of power that think this way, then they just keep, I'm getting away with this, so what do I do now? Well, the people on the far, far left, Mr. President, quote unquote, they're really demanding, hey, Nancy, get over here too, and Schumer, they're really demanding that you push through the Green New Deal in this, and trying to take over the voting and all these radical things and amnesty. They're really going to need you to do that if you're going to want any support. So, and this is kind of what you need to say. Well, we the people don't want these things, but here is the problem. It's not just the left side of the aisle. The Republicans. Remember I said that the British broke off because they didn't have representation. So we know that if the transportation bill, which is, looks like it's going to get passed, goes through, then the reconciliation, they're going to try to use that to get through the amnesty, Green New Deal, rebuilding, tearing down buildings, making us energy dependent completely, forcing us to work towards the Agenda 2030 goal of for the U.N. sustainability as well as the Great Reset, of us not owning anything. So you don't really need to own a house. You can just rent. And the government's going to go through and put in, tear down walls, put in insulation. All new buildings will have very limited glass. We're going to make the country like zero emissions somehow while we're destroying the energy industry, while we're trying to pay a basic universal income, keep people not working. There's 10 million job openings, and the Obama administration said today that they may continue overpaying people to be on unemployment. But they're bragging about there's all these jobs, but the people aren't going to work them. So the Republicans are supposed to be representing the people that love our country and don't want a huge federal government. But Gateway Pundit's reporting, Jim Hoft, they really hate you. Mitch McConnell and 17 Rhino senators vote for infrastructure bill that includes $0. This is the infrastructure. No money for border security. But there's money for bridges to nowhere. And who would sign this? Mitch McConnell, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Jim Cornyn, Chuck Grassley, Mike Crapo, Tom Tillis. States like Louisiana, North Carolina, Iowa, North Dakota, Nebraska, Alaska, Ohio, Kentucky. We do not have, just like I'm in California, I do not have representation in Sacramento, and we the people do not have representation in D.C. We have some senators and we have some House members that will try. But we don't have any. We literally have an open border with people pouring in, and we're paying for it. We're now going to have, if this bill goes through, if the second $3.5 trillion goes through, which was predicated on the first $1 trillion going through, then what we'll have is we would have gone from the Trump America First trying to finish the wall and establish American sovereignty to the Green New Deal, people on the way to and for amnesty getting citizenship. Three, four, five, over 4 years, what, 8, 9, 10 million people are going to pour across from over 100 different countries. It's so significant that's why I was asking, if you're just joining, are we at the point now where we're going to have states looking to leave the union? If not, then you will have an increasing federal government that will tell a state like Texas, you can't deny buses from coming down and taking illegal aliens through your state across your border. You can't arrest people or ask people for identifications in your state. Or you can't pass, like in Georgia, you can't, or in Texas, you can't pass election laws that will require people to show an ID. Federal government, well, we're going to buy more federal land, and we're going to stop you from drilling on federal land, and we're going to force people, if you work for the government, you work for the military, and we're encouraging corporations to force people in all the sovereign states to get a mandated vaccine. That's how fast, in less than a year, things have gone. And if these go through, this extra $4.5 to $6 trillion, we're at $34 trillion in debt, and we're on our way to communism, with the Constitution still there to allow for a secession, or I don't know how it would work. I just know I live in the divided states of America, and I do not have representation, and most people that love America do not have representation in D.C., where 18 Republicans would not be voting to allow the potential of a $3.5 trillion spending bill to go through, which would give amnesty. And it would basically elevate transgenderism. It would elevate this hyper-green paranoia, the ability for the government to shut everything down. Because the bigger the government gets, the more it can influence your life when it wants to make policy decisions. Think about it. Between the military and all the federal governments, you're talking of over millions of people that are going to get forced to get the vaccine, forced against their will. But Obama doesn't care. He's partying. Doesn't care if anybody gets COVID. And the elitists are like, but they're educated, they're vaccinated, and they're super smart leaders, so don't worry about it. And Cuomo's like, yeah, I'm doing what I want, but I'm not leaving office because this is just how I roll. It'll be interesting to see if they actually can force him out, or is he going to be like Maduro down in Venezuela, where he'll just ride out the storm, because who's going to stop him? If you got the Department of Justice in the United States, the FBI, CIA, the Congress, if everybody's progressive running the country, who's going to punish the evildoers? There is nobody. All right, when we get back, we have a lot more to go over here on this Monday issue of For Liberty's Sake. I'll be right back.
Name one time in history where the people who banned books, media, and opinions were the good guys. Hi, I'm Eric. I'm the world's youngest Bitcoin millionaire. I made it in Silicon Valley, and I've accomplished a lot in my life already. But now, I'm leaving big tech to fight for free speech. Because the big tech overlords are violating your privacy, censoring your speech, and I think that's so wrong. That's why I created the Freedom Phone and its uncensorable app store. Everyone is complaining about big tech censorship, but no one is doing anything about it. They say, build your own phone. So I did. Freedom Phone truly is the best phone in the world. It does everything your current phone does, except censor you and spy on you. With the Freedom Phone, your freedom of speech is our number one priority. That's why we built our own app store that is completely uncensored. If an app you love has been banned from the mainstream app stores, you can still download it on ours, because we don't ban apps, period. And we've developed the first operating system based on your free speech. There's no app tracking, no keyboard tracking, and no location tracking, because I believe in your security. How do we ensure you're being protected? Say hello to Trust. Trust is our privacy guard. It's designed to warn you whenever an app or a website is tracking you, and gives you the option to stop it. Your data, your rules. That's our motto. The Freedom Phone is comparable to the best smartphones on the market. It has an edge-to-edge screen, a super fast processor, and multiple cameras. And your SIM card transfers into the Freedom Phone seamlessly. Big tech companies hold a monopoly on public communication and the dissemination of information. And they are abusing that power. Nobody elected Mark or Jack to be the arbiters of truth in America, yet they still thought it was okay to ban a sitting president from their platforms. If they censor a president, they will censor anyone. Imagine if Mark Zuckerberg censored MLK or Abraham Lincoln. The course of history would have been altered forever. Out of all the constitutional amendments, there's a reason why the founding fathers made the right to free speech the very first. I believe you have a voice that deserves to be heard, without being censored. Protect yourself from big tech censorship. Let your voice be heard. Live free with the Freedom Phone.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with the most important commercial that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 5 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, it's all come down to this. I'm having a cyber symposium on August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This historical event will be live streamed 72 hours straight on my new platform, frankspeech.com. You can help by getting everybody you know to go to frankspeech.com now. To help support this cyber symposium event, I am offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only offered at frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
All right, thank you so much for staying with me. And for those of you just joining, welcome to the second half hour here of the Monday for Liberty's Sake show. All right. So I went over Obama, went over Cuomo, they don't care. And I went over the fact that the Republicans and the leadership, including Mitch McConnell and the Rhinos, have decided that they're going to open our country up to massive spending and massive amounts of the laundry list of the left is all in this $3.5 trillion bill. One of the most incompetent senators in the U.S. Senate, he was Hillary's VP, Tim Kaine, Senator Tim Kaine. Well, he's coming out now. He's pretty excited that the Republicans are going to go ahead and sign off on this. He says a GOP embrace of pay-fors in bipartisan bill gives us a tool to say that the reconciliation bill is paid for. So what's in this reconciliation bill that the Republicans are opening the door for? Oh, we got universal pre-K. That way the government can have access to your children from 3 to 4 years old and up. They're even going to give them 2 free years of college. So that means from, let's say, 3 to 4 to 20, the federal government will have input into your child's minds and life. A paid family care. Medicare expansions to cover all these illegal aliens. Lawful permanent status for qualified immigrants leading to citizenship. It's like a massive DACA, except legal. It's going to be law this time. And massive climate policies. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, here, I'll just let you, here he is bragging a little bit about how the Republicans are so stupid. They signed up on this.
Joining me now is a member of the Senate Budget Committee charged with making this budget resolution and turning it into reality. It's Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine. And Senator, we got our first look at this package this morning. We know there's not unanimous agreement in the caucus about all the details. How much do you expect the final version to be different from what you're laying out right now?
Yeah, Garrett, that's a really good way to start this. This process basically sets up an instruction. And then the committees, like I'm on the Health, Education, Labor, Pension Committee, and we're allocated funds for our priorities, we have to actually write the detailed bill and do it in a way where we can get 50 out of 50 Democratic votes to bring it back to the floor in September for consideration and ultimate passage. So it is going to be shaped and molded along the way as all Democrats participate. But I do think this framework is an accurate portrayal of what we want and what we're likely to end up with. There will be details that will change, maybe some important details, but still the framework that we put on the table, I believe we're going to get there.
We learned a new term today, talking about lawful permanent status for qualified immigrants. Does that mean just the Dreamers? Does that mean essential workers? I know there was a lot of talk about that in the early stages. Who would be included there?
Well, Garrett, just to use that one as an example. So that is something that the Judiciary Committee will work on. That's in Judiciary's jurisdiction. They will try to craft a detailed description of what that means that can satisfy all 50 Democrats. We're not expecting any Republican votes on this. So it has to be something that every Democrat will agree to. There has been.
So there you go. This is supposed to be representative government, right? Okay, so the guy's basically saying, you guys are making up a new term. Who's all included in this qualified non-citizen protective status? Well, you know, no Republicans are going to help us, so we just have to keep adding people and just subtracting people and until we find that where every Democrat will sign off because there's not going to be any say for the Republicans and the people that they represent. We're going to be able to do what we want because Republicans were stupid enough to sign off on this infrastructure bill, which is going to allow them to attach this spending to it. Article here from Trending Politics. Okay, also let me show you this list here real quick, and then we're going to move on to a couple more things before we're done here. All right, what's in the list here? All right, here we go. Let's blow this up. Okay, so The $3.5 trillion would establish pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds up and a new child care benefit for working families, make community college tuition free for 2 years, creates the first ever federal paid family and medical leave benefit, provides environmental justice and climate reliance, or resilience, I'm sorry. Electrifies the federal vehicles fleet and buildings, historic level investments in public housing, green and sustainability housing, housing production affordability, establishes the first ever civilian climate corps, provides green cards to millions of immigrant workers and families, adds a new dental, vision, hearing benefits for legal aliens and poor people, and a new federal health care program for Americans in the Medicaid gap. Basically, it will be universal health care. It'll be like Europe. So they're going to basically change America. And the millions of people pouring in are all going to receive this new America, all the benefits from the new America. They're going to craft this spending around all the people they just poured in, trying to get them on a pathway to citizenship so they can be voters and keep them in office forever. Think of that list as absurd. Rand Paul is a libertarian. And Rand Paul is like, we're at the point that, I'm going to get to COVID here before we're done. He said in a tweet that the government cannot arrest all of us. Rand Paul makes rallying cry for new potential lockdowns in a viral rant. This is from Colin Ruge of Trending Politics. On Sunday, Republican Senator Rand Paul posted a video to Twitter urging Americans to protest the potential upcoming lockdowns for COVID-19. It's time for us to resist, Paul asserted to his fellow Americans. And I'll just go ahead and play the video here in the tweet. And this is where I think we're at, too. I agree with him 100%. And here is Senator Dr. Rand Paul. Actually, this is over at Twitter here, so sorry about that. I'm going to bring it over. Let's show you the Twitter. I thought it would play inside the article, but didn't. So I'm going to bring up Twitter for you because this is important. This is a United States Senator, doctor, that has issues with the way COVID's being pushed, and he's saying we don't have to lay down for this. So here we go.
It's time for us to resist. They can't arrest all of us. They can't keep all of your kids home from school. They can't keep every government building closed, although I've got a long list of ones they might keep closed or might ought to keep closed. We don't have to accept the mandates, lockdowns, and harmful policies of the petty tyrants and bureaucrats. We can simply say no, not again. Nancy Pelosi, you will not arrest or stop me or anyone on my staff from doing our jobs. We have either had COVID, had the vaccine, or been offered the vaccine. We will make our own health choices. We will not show you a passport. We will not wear a mask. We will not be forced into random screenings and testings so you can continue your drunk with power reign over the Capitol. President Biden, we will not accept your agency's mandates or your reported moves towards a lockdown. No one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. And if you want to shut down federal agencies again, some of which aren't even back to work yet, I will stop every bill coming through the Senate with an amendment to cut their funding if they don't come back to work in person. Local bureaucrats and union bosses, we will not allow you to do more harm to our children again this year. Children are not at any more risk from COVID than they are from the seasonal flu. Every adult who works in schools has either had the vaccine or had their chance to get vaccinated. There is no reason for mask mandates, part-time schools, or any lockdown measures. Children are falling behind in school and are being harmed physically and psychologically by the tactics that you have used to keep them from the classroom during the last year. We won't allow it again. If a school system attempts to keep children from full-time...
Okay, so how you guys, what are you guys thinking? Are you agreeing with him? For those of you that are on the podcast, Rand Paul is, he's just got a blue screen behind him. He's got his suit on, and he's basically saying, you don't have, we don't have to do what they're going to ask. He says, I'm not going to. And they don't have a right to, because he just said it. And I have another professional coming up. The children have as much risk from this as they do from catching the seasonal flu. So he's telling Nancy and them, my staff, as for me and my family and my staff, we're not going to comply to your Marxist, unscientific demands that you're going to be bringing out. And we know you are. We're not going to do it. Here he goes. Finish up.
In-person school, I will hold up every bill with two amendments, one to defund them and another to allow parents the choice of where the money goes for their child's education. Do I sound fed up to you? That's because I am. I'm not a career politician. I practiced medicine for 33 years. I graduated from Duke Medical School. I've worked in emergency rooms. I've studied immunology and virology. And I ultimately chose to become an eye surgeon. I've been telling everyone for a year now that Dr. Fauci and other public health bureaucrats were not following the science, and I've been proven right time and time again. But I'm not the only one who's fed up. I can't go anywhere these days without people coming up and thanking me for standing up for them, whether I'm at work or at events in Kentucky, at airports, in restaurants, or in stores. People thank me for taking a stand. They thank me for standing up for actual science, for standing up for freedom, for standing against mandates, lockdowns, and bureaucratic power grabs. I think the tide is turning as more and more people are willing to stand up. I see stories from across the country of parents standing up to the unions and school boards. I see brave moms standing up and saying, my kids need to go back to school in person. I see members of Congress refusing to comply with petty tyrant Pelosi. We are at a moment of truth and a crossroads. Will we allow these people to use fear and propaganda to do further harm to our society, economy, and children? Or will we stand together and say, absolutely not, not this time, I choose freedom.
I choose freedom. So do you choose freedom? Because it's going to, it's, we're getting to that point where you're going to have to choose freedom verbally and in defiance of mandates. If it gets to that point where they start coming to your house, like they already are. But let's say you want to go out and get some gas at the gas station. Well, where's your vaccine passport? I don't have one. Well, you have to have one. No, I don't. Well, fine, we're going to harass you until you get one. Matter of fact, your neighbors know, and we're going to publish a list that says that you are a group of people that are anti-vaxxers and you want to kill people. And your children, you don't want them to go to school, so you keep fighting us. And you're asking about critical race theory, and you're asking about, you know, trying to give an exception for the kids. And it's because you don't care, and it's because you're that Trump extremist mob that wants to kill people, and you just are anti-government. Rand Paul's like, I'm a doctor, been around a long time. I know virology, I know the human body, and I know this is a farce. Another article here, I won't get to it, but there was a Wall Street Journal article. You can read it, go online and look up the case against mask for children. And this was by Dr. Marty Makary, M-A-K-A-R-Y. But he gives a good case why masks are not necessary for children. Education is the way our the way that we've taken the Prussian system and made it our education system, and now we have the biggest cancer in our country. is the universities. But the lower level grades where they're prepping the kids to be good little Marxists, and that's why they want masks on them. That's why in this $3.5 trillion human infrastructure bill they want to push through, they want to get access to the kids from three. They'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, mom and dad. We'll give you the, we'll pay for the meals, the transportation. Give us your kids. Give us your kids from 3 years old. And then we'll pay for them to go to junior college till they're 20. Just let us have your kids for 16 years and we'll tell them what they should think and how they should be good citizens. Well, up in Oregon, the governor decided that the kids that are trying to graduate school, you know, trying to leave this education system to get ready for college in the world. The Oregon, this is from the postmillennial.com. Oregon governor signs new law allowing students to graduate without proving they can read, write, or do math. An Oregon high school diploma does not guarantee that students who earned it can read, write, or do math at a high school level. Governor, this is written by Alex Anas Ahmed. Governor Kate Brown dropped the requirement that students demonstrate they have achieved those essential skills by signing Senate Bill 744 into law. She declined again Friday to comment on why she supported suspending the proficiency requirements. She says, Charles Boyle, the governor's deputy communication director, said the governor's staff told legislative staff the same day the governor signed the bill. He said in an email statement that suspending the reading, writing, and math proficiency requirements will benefit, quote, Oregon's Black, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, tribal, and students of color. He added that leaders from those communities have advocated time and again for equitable graduation standards, along with expanded learning opportunities and support, unquote. So you heard what he said, that the leaders in the communities of people of color, they wanted equitable graduation standards. What does that mean? If you're basically anyone except you're white, or maybe Chinese, you are privileged. And for some reason, because you're privileged, your skin color or whatever, that anyone who's not a person of color cannot be expected to get the same type of proficiency at reading, math, and arithmetic. So let's just get rid of the requirements. So you can go through dysfunctional, union-run, failing public schools, and nobody now will catch you in Oregon as you can exit into the world not proficient at anything. And then you're expected to somehow compete. And then Obama or the Biden administration or whoever will say, well, you know what? We're not going to even do an entrance test into the junior college. And we'll pay for you, Johnny. You failed. You're not competent. But we don't know that because we didn't test you. So you're going to now go into college and we're going to pay for it. By the way, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, all this anti-fascist, Trump's bad, American nationalism's bad, liberty's bad. In California, they want to get rid of, or they've gotten rid of, the SAT. So you don't have to be tested to go into some of the colleges because they want equity. They want the same percentage of people of white and of color to get into the colleges, even if some of the people, they don't qualify. On this, I'm going to end on this. Chicago, Because we're talking about equity, right? We're talking about how the left and progressive cities are trying to, the left will explain away Obama. They'll explain away some of them for Cuomo. Now maybe Cuomo is getting so bad that they're not going to be able to do that. They may have to finally say, okay, you know what? Sorry, Cuomo, just step down, man. You're gonna keep your money. We're not gonna put you in jail or anything, but we need you to kind of, you know, now you're hurting us, so now you need to kind of go away. We've done all we could for you, but it's time to go away. Chicago is a war zone, so at least 72 people were shot over the last weekend, 11 killed, including a police officer at a traffic stop. And who's she blaming? I mean, the city's been run for 70, 80 years by Democrats, and she was going to come in and fix the problems. But no, Lori Lightfoot, she decided to say, well, you know, we love the cops. She hated the cops a week ago. But according to Daily Wire, from Tim Paris, Chicago mayor blames guns after a female police officer fatally shot during the traffic stop. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot claims guns and the violence they bring are responsible for the death of a police officer, Ella French. 29-year-old French, a 3.5-year veteran of the force, died over the weekend after being shot during a traffic stop. French is the first officer to be shot and killed in line of duty since Lightfoot took office in 2019. First female officer killed since 1988. Today, she said, quote, today is an official day of mourning for this city. In her official Twitter page on Sunday, we've lost a young officer. I offer my condolences to her mother, brother, family, and friends. Please keep this officer, the officer in the hospital, and CPD in your prayers. Continuing, some say we don't have enough police. Others say we do too much. We have too much. All of this must stop. We have a common enemy. Is it the gangs? Is it the criminals that are let out on with no bail? No, the common enemy is guns and the violence the guns bring. We do not have representation. The people that live in Chicago that want to be protected do not have representation. And when we tried to vote in 2018 to keep President Trump in office and keep us heading toward liberty, freedoms, right? Not a party. We don't want everybody being Republicans. Then the left, who had 4 years after President Trump won an unexpected victory to get ready for 2020. And you don't want to miss, starting tomorrow, Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium. Tomorrow, running through the 12th. And it says here, Mike will reveal the cyber data and the packets captured from the November 2020 elections. He put up a $5 million challenge, will be offered to any attendee who can prove that this cyber data is not valid data from the November 2020 election. The symposium is not open to a bunch of just troublemakers. These are people, politicians, cyber experts, and the media. So you don't want to miss it. Starts tomorrow at, it starts with 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Let me see here. 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. So make sure you get over to frankspeech.com to sit in on that and find out for yourself. Watch it yourself and say, you know what? There was election fraud and the proof is there. And then we have to figure out what we're going to do to demand that the courts and our public officials actually who are supposed to be representing us and they're not. If the proof is there, then we'll see what we can do to get them to represent us and to make sure justice and fair elections take place in the United States of America. when you're over there, if you want to support my show and Rich on the weekends, you can get go to MyPillow.com, which Mike owns, and the 2,500 employees you want to support up in Minnesota, and use our promo code FLS to save up to 66% off. But in the end, let's be informed. Let's make sure that we're working locally, and let's try to decide if we can get back power from our government. If not, what would be our solution? So thank you again for watching. This has been For Liberty's Sake. My name is Eric Thompson. I will see you tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with the most important commercial that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 5 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, it's all come down to this. I'm having a cyber symposium on August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This historical event will be live streamed 72 hours straight on my new platform, frankspeech.com. You can help by getting everybody you know to go to frankspeech.com now. To help support this Cyber Symposium event, I am offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only offered at frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.